You know, just put in city water main replacement. I don't. What do folks think? Put water main, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5 water main? For a clean sweep of water?
Yeah, yeah, it might stress the point.
Hammer, I think, make it all water, put your highest cost at the top. Dam stable, I do still think we should keep water treatment as number one, even if dam stabilization is more, we're further along on that. So, and we've got some stuff lined up and if we can top it out, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Go with 5, then the, high school, middle school, life, health, safety. Does that help?
Let me read that back to you, Chris. So I've got number one, this is an order of listing that I've got listed here. Water treatment plant, dam, upper reservoir bypass, Columbia Highway water main, high school, middle school, life and safety upgrade, power plant, barge ramp, Myers Chuck, or Inner Harbor before Myers Chuck?
Yeah.
No, Myers Chuck first.
Yeah.
Myers Chuck first.
Myers Chuck?
Yeah, we put them off and pushed them down the road for so long.
So Myers Chuck, then public safety, I'm sorry, recreation center, siding and roofing replacement, then the public safety building, Inner Harbor, Ringle Road resurfacing, and the other small.
Sounds good. Just so folks understand, we did get some funds for when the borough was formed and Myers Chuck joined our borough. We received funds from the state to take over the Fort Harbor. And we leveraged those funds to assist us with Shoemaker, right? And folks in Myers Chuck felt a little bit slighted that didn't go towards improving their docks. Part of the problem was their docks looked pretty good. But we didn't know that they'd been floating barrels under it forever to keep those docks floating. So they were literally sinking away and the community was buying barrels and putting barrels under it. So we've identified that now. We've reimbursed them for their barrels, but we do need to do something about their docks. And I know that's important to them. So, and we did, I think we haven't come out and made a written commitment, but we did verbally commit that they're next on the list. So they need to be next on the list. That sounds great, Amber. I think, does that help? We're good?
Yes, that's great. If you all, everyone's comfortable with that.
Everyone feeling good with that? Okay, I think we got a thumbs up. Thank you, Amber. Appreciate your time on that.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, so that was item 13B. We're on to item 13.
Oh, we need to vote.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, vote. Do we have someone, do we need to amend the list?
No, you, as a consensus, I need that, because consensus is fine.
Okay, so can we, there's no further discussion. Could you please call the roll, Kim?
Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Potomac?
Yes. Item 13E, resolution number 12-21-2641, City and Borough of Ringle, Alaska, adopting an alternative growth allocation method for the fiscal year 22 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects to fisheries business activity in FMA 18 Central Southeast Area.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1641.
Move by Powell.
Second.
Seconded by Howe. Jeff, can we give us an administrative report on that?
Mason, go ahead.
Mason, thank you.
So, yeah, this is really just a formality. We do this every single year. This is the DCCED Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program, different than the Department of Revenue's State Fish Tax Sharing Program, which can kind of get confusing. Last year, we only got like $2,500 out of this thing. This year, I think we're projected to get like $6,000 or $7,000. But really, this is a formality of saying we select the alternative allocation method, which is 50% based off of per capita and 50% equal sharing. You know, we're pooled with Petersburg, Sitka, the Prince of Wales communities. So it really is, this is in our favor. We'll get more money by doing the alternative method. So that's what this is really about.
Okay. Thank you, Mason. Any questions for Mason before you? Thank you. Housekeeping, in other words.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Any other questions? Hearing none, full vote, please, Kim.
Assemblymember David Powell?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Patrico?
Yes. Item 13F, resolution number 12-21-1642, the Assembly of City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the fiscal year 2022 budget and general fund and transferring $19,992 from general fund reserves to the finance department salaries and wages, and transferring $7,287 from general fund reserves to the finance department's personnel benefits account.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1642.
Move by Powell.
Second.
Second by Morrison. Jeff and Mason.
So this is a delegate. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So this and the following resolution kind of are linked together for, you know, historical patterns. We usually do a job description and a budget amendment together for a proposed position. This budget amendment is for a property and sales tax clerk in the finance department. We've demonstrated a really critical need for this role, as finance and accounting professionals are pretty conservative people, and I don't mean that in a political way, but I wouldn't be asking for this if we didn't really need it. You know, we've identified, just through the help of Callie Miller, you guys remember passing an amendment for $1,827 for her help. She's dedicated 120 hours to kind of getting us initiated in this process, and we've already seen a great return from our property and sales tax revenue streams that frequently had no oversight over them in the last 5 years. So we've identified $88,000 in delinquent sales tax over the last five quarters that we're collecting on now. Prior to, you know, Callie's work and my role in facilitating this, that was never even looked at. Property tax delinquencies, you'll notice in my finance director report that they're over $200,000 in the last 5 years, something that's never been followed up on, foreclosure process, the sales tax audit process, all those things, the assessment process, they're not being tracked and they don't have day-to-day eyes on. And I think the value of this position and this budget amendment, but if we get the job description next, is, you know, crazy how much you're going to see. It's really cost benefit wise, you're going to quadruple those position value, if not more.
Thank you, Mason. Any questions for Mason or comments?
This is presently for a 6 month position to the end of this fiscal year.
So the budget amendment itself is just for the 6 months. So, you know, the 14th today, you know, hire 2 weeks from now, hopefully. And so this is just budgeted for 6 months, but it is proposed to be a full-time permanent position. So it will be exactly double the amount proposed in fiscal year 23.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get on the record.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments or thoughts?
So in this job, is this job going to, like a business starts up, is this job going to have to, are they going to regulate that? I mean, are they going to go out there and go, are you paying your taxes, or?
Yep. So it's all inclusive. So, like, you know, one of the biggest complaints I get as finance director is the lack of notices that go out. We don't get any sales. We don't give any sales tax notices or property tax notices are usually really delayed. Those kind of activities, letting them slip through the cracks, I mean, we're just not getting the return that we should. And so, but there's just a lot of other activities that are involved in there. I mean, like the property tax assessment process, that's huge, and we don't really do it. You know, if you talk to our state assessor and then our assessment team, we don't track building permits very well, and it's not a robust process. Land improvements, all that kind of stuff. Those things being tracked are going to add value to our community in, you know, a really robust fashion. So, and the biggest, another thing that I'll mention is the cross-training that occurs between utilities clerk, AP, county generalist. If one person goes down, namely the utilities clerk, the bottom falls out. I mean, there's nobody that can do her role right now. So to have somebody else to cross train, it's just a win all the way across the board.
And right now, I mean, it's kind of shared across all of us, so no one's really focusing in on this. So that's why it's almost voluntary for businesses to come in and actually do it themselves, because we don't have anyone tracking it. So this would allow someone dedicated to track this, the sales tax and the property tax.
And if you look at just last year's fiscal year property tax or sales tax penalty, we collected $15,000 just from a payment plan that's been installed for, like, you know, 8 years. So that means we didn't really collect any sales tax penalties at all, other than the payment plan that was already in place, which I don't believe is true, you know, the way it should be.
Sounds good, good. Any other comments? Hearing none, thank you, Mason.
Yep, hold on, please.
Sure. Assemblymember Morrison?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. Item 13G, resolution number 12-21-1643, the City of Borough Arundel, Alaska, creating the property and sales tax county clerk job description within the finance department and amending the non-union wage and grade table.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1643.
Move by Morrison.
Second.
Seconded by Gilbert. Is there any, I mean, this is just the follow-up to.
Correct.
Is there any questions? Hearing none, full vote, please.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. Item number 13H, resolution number 12-21-1644 of the Assembly City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending fiscal year 2022 budget in the IMLS Federal Grant Revenue Fund by accepting a grant in the amount of $14,040.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1644.
Move by Gilbert.
Second.
Seconded by Howe. Jeff, do you want to give a little update on that?
Yeah, it's basically accepting a grant, but if Margaret wants to speak.
I can. We applied for a grant through the WCA to.
Can you come up to the.
Sure.
Just so the folks
can. Yeah,
we
applied for a grant with the WCA to get a part time position in Rogers so that we could add more hours. We can only do this through the end of October, but at least it will give us an opportunity to be open more days of the week and give us a little more help in the summer.
Excellent. And this is tied to the next resolution as well.
Right, yeah.
Job description.
Any questions for Margaret? Thank you. All right. Hearing none, can you call the roll, please?
Sure. Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. Item 13I, resolution number 12-21-1645, the Assembly City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, approving the temporary part-time library assistant one job description and amending the non-union wage and grade table.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1645.
Move by Gilbert.
Second.
Seconded by Morrison. So this is just follow-up from our previous one. Does anybody have any questions on it? Hearing none, full vote, please.
Assemblymember Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. Item 13J, resolution number 12-21-1646 in the Assembly of the City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending fiscal year 2022 budget general fund by accepting the Easy ARPA grant in the amount of $5,960 and authorizing an expenditure for the purchase of a new testing computer workstation and the purchase of library books.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1646.
Move by Powell.
Second.
Seconded by Morrison. Margaret, come on up.
So there was a grant that was offered through the state, but it's a federal grant. So we applied for it so we could get a new computer for our testing room because it's really old and we do a lot of tests for the city, for the universities and other items. And if you apply for this grant and you received it, you also got an additional $2,500 that you have to use to purchase library books.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
It's a bonus.
Yeah, so we did it and we got it. And
all right. Thank you very much for writing for these grants. We really appreciate it. It's extra time, but it really helps out the whole community. So thank you for doing that. I know it takes extra time and effort, so thank you. Are there any questions for Margaret? Hearing none, full vote, please, Kim.
Assembly members David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. Item 13K, resolution number 12-21-1647, is simply the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the fiscal year 2022 budget in the Port Harbor Fund by transferring funds from the Myers-Chuck reserve account to the Myers Chuck Harbor Replacement Capital Project. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Account in the amount of $250,253 and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1647.
Moved by Morrison, seconded by Powell. Steve, come on up. I'm sure you're up. Or is Amber up? Who's up?
Well, kind of, we're both here.
Tag team.
I'll answer what I can.
Amber's gonna work on today.
I haven't seen the Myers Chuck, but, yeah, so this, request for a budget amendment is for the engineering design for Myers Chuck. We, again, we had planned to bring this before you at a, for a fiscal year 22 capital budget, which hasn't happened, and we thought, you know, we're just gonna attack these, case by case as we can get to them and bring them forward. So this was one because we have some money for Myers Chuck. It's some of this, the Myers Chuck money that was, still remaining from the state, O&M money that was given to us, when we took over the harbor. We thought it would be great to move this forward into design and a shovel-ready project for the upcoming infrastructure bill. So $250,253 for engineering design and permitting the environmental work. Over half of that is for the environmental work. We could go into the long, details of all that's required these days, for that permitting, and a lot of it is related to the Endangered Species Act, and the biological analysis that has to be done ahead of time, and then the work that is required during the construction, primarily of pile driving. We will go ahead and say that we're looking at some options. This, design is based on the cost estimate that was put together to replace that dock in kind, and it takes off from the point of the gangway down, so not the approach trestle. Originally, we were under the impression that that was in good condition, but it will need to be evaluated, once we have an engineer on contract for that project. So replacing the gangway with an ADA compliant, gangway, and then the float in kind to the length that they are currently, which is about 350 feet, right? There's 24, socketed piles, shallow bedrock. So a lot of the expenses related to those piles. There's some discussion going on, right now about this project as to whether or not we could reduce the scope, based on the need down there. So, Steve wants to put some more thought and into that and discussion with the community down there to see if we can, get this project down a little bit and still meet their needs.
It is a safe harbor. So whenever the state built that, I mean, it's excessive for their needs down there. I mean,
yeah.
It's meant to be a safe harbor. So what we're trying to do in this design process is kind of a tiered approach. So instead of just one overall project to replace in kind, I want three option items where it's like the first small chunk at the front, which would basically meet the needs of the local community there. And then if additional funding came down from the infrastructure bill or safe harbor that the state wanted or somebody else wanted to kick in, then we could add to it if we got additional funding. But it's mainly just to take care of that front area, which is strictly mainly the needs of everyone down there.
Sure.
And not the additional amount.
I find it ironic that there's going to be an ADA compliant ramp to a dirt path. I think it's kind of interesting. Okay. Any questions for Amber? Sorry, go ahead.
Can I just add, I don't know, Jeff, if you think it's appropriate to talk about P&D right now since we're... But so P&D helped us with this a lot. P&D engineers,
okay,
worked with us on this, to develop the cost. P&D has done the last four or five harbor projects for us, based on competitive selection. And I know there's been a push and discussion about making sure that we go to competitive selection for engineering services. But we would like to bring back to you in January a request to sole source this work to P&D. They are ready to go, and if there's any hesitation, we'd like to hear it now. But that's how we're planning to move forward, to bring back in January. They're ready to go, and they said they can have this work ready for us in 6 months. Please consider that it takes several months just to get a solicitation written out to bid
evaluate, negotiate, you know, so by the time we have a contractor, engineering contractor on board, you know, we could be April or May. So there's value in following our procurement code, which allows us to sole source for professional services in that regard. But also, I'll say P&D engineers is they're our preferred, generally speaking. Like they know our systems, they know what we like, they've worked here. They do probably 85-90% of the harbors in Alaska. You know, so there are reasons why we go to them. They're at our beck and call when we need something. They do work for us without charging us a penny. But again, they're ready to go on this project, and they've committed to having it done for us if we were to sole source with them within 6 months, pending delays with environmental process. So if there's concern, we'd like to hear it now. I just wanted to put that out on the table and have some discussion.
I have concerns about that. And my concerns just come from we have a procurement code, and in the past, we've, for various reasons, we've gone against our procurement code. And I guess if this was a, you know, if we were worried about things dropping into the bay and it was rushed or whatever, I could see it. But I know that the idea is that you want to assure the public that we're getting the best price for the quality of service possible. And when we do these, you know, I've heard this before, we work well with these guys, they're good, they do the majority of the work. And I just worry every time we do it. And I know it's easier and it's people that you're familiar with. So, Steve?
One concern that we do have is missing out on some of this infrastructure money. If it takes us longer to get into this and we don't have a shovel-ready project, this may not happen.
I think you're going to find that the infrastructure money is not going to go as fast as everybody thinks it does. But, you know, Jeff's going to go in a workshop here with AML, and the notice I just got today was that it's probably going to go a bit slower than we all think it's going to go, but by the same token, we have a responsibility to the community if we don't get infrastructure money, and we have a procurement process. Amber?
Our procurement code allows us to sole source those services.
I understand.
I'm just
no, I understand, but at some point it's no longer, if you're constantly looking at variables. So that's my opinion. I'll open it up to the rest of the assembly. Bob?
I share your concern, Steve, on that. I think we've had good reasons to go sole source, and you guys have documented them in the paperwork. But I don't see the urgency here. I think, you know, this is kind of a brand new project, if you will. I know it's a little more work to put out a solicitation for it, but again, you know, to do the fiduciary responsibility on it, I think this one would be worth going through that effort.
Anybody else in public?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it may be a requirement for this money for us to do to go out for this. And I do share your belief with P&D. They really have done a lot of projects in our town as well as around the state. But I think when it comes down to it, I think we should always follow policy.
Yeah.
I have to agree with Patty. If we don't follow policy, why have a policy?
Like with some of the ordinances that don't get followed, why have them?
I appreciate what you said, Amber. I know that there is a provision for us to go sole source in that procurement policy, but the intent of that policy is to ensure that you're receiving competitive bids and that the project gets the best bid possible. So right now, if anybody, I'm going to just check in. Does anybody else have an opinion on this?
Yeah.
David?
Well, I agree with you all, but I also agree with Steve and Amber. I work with people all the time that I like to work with. And it's easier to work with somebody that knows your systems, knows what's going on. So I understand what they're going through, but I also understand what our code says. So I get it, like both ways, and it's really tough for us to sit up here and say, go ahead and work with P&D. So, I mean, it, for me, it's a hard one because I do the same thing all the time. Of course, I'm private. I don't have to answer to everybody else. We have to answer to everybody else, so I have to agree with everybody here on that. But I understand it.
Okay, so I think fairly clear guidance on that. Amber?
If I could just ask, if that is the will of the assembly moving forward, because our procurement policy does allow us to do that, and we would not be going against our policy by doing that, so we'd be clear on that, I'd like to maybe change the code. So
I think that's fairly drastic, Amber. I think in this case we have gone with many times. We have said go sole source.
Yeah.
In this particular incident, you've asked us and we've said that we would like you to go out to bid on this. And if the administration, if you want to go to Jeff and talk to Jeff about changing code, you can bring that forward at that time. But that's not for tonight's meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
I guess it would help us to understand if we need to have that conversation in the future. It helps us to understand how to plan and what the will of the assembly is, right?
And I appreciate that you asked for our opinion and you received it. So
thank you.
No, and we appreciate whenever you have gone sole source because we know it's a one-off and it should be a one-off. And whenever we really need to, we want to have that tool in our tool bag to be able to use it. But in this case, we do have some time. So I agree.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. Okay, so at this point,
are we done?
We're done. Thank you, Amber. At this point, we'll call the roll. Any further discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud?
Yes. Okay. Item 13L, resolution number 12-21-1648, the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the fiscal year 2022 budget by transferring funds from the CARES Act fund to the airport runway lighting backup generator capital project account and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1648.
Second. I was looking at something here. Moved by Morrison, seconded by Powell. Jeff, do you want to?
So during the emergency, we realized that we didn't have any backup generator at the airport. So what this does is we do have some of that funding still available, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mason, this will pretty much wipe out, it'll clean out the rest of that account that's still left for the CARES Act. Mm-hmm. So I think it's around $86,000 we have left, so this will.
Do you mind if I comment on that just real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Jason.
Real briefly. So basically what we did when I inherited CARES, like absolute nightmare, $3.8 million. So it didn't have a really proper mechanism for being tracked. And thanks to Jamie Roberts for the last year of sifting through that, she's been a big help. And so me and Jamie, this last few weeks, we did a high-level review of what can be in the FEMA bucket, because FEMA PA is more restrictive, and what can be in the CARES bucket. So we transferred everything we could to FEMA. It loosened up the perfect amount for the generator. I just didn't want you guys to get the impression that, oh, like we've been mistracking this or anything like that. We came up with the money. But no, it was a constant effort, and really thanks to Jamie Roberts for her efforts, because this is going to happen because of her. So.
You bet. Thank you, Jamie. So really this was money that we freed up by moving stuff around.
Right.
I have... So, here's my concern on this one.
Just real quick on this one. And my goal of this one would make it to be a portable that we could plug in as needed so that we have some options for it down the road. I do think that the state should be helping us. So again, by making it portable, I would like to then have them help us and maybe do something on their own, and then we could then take this generator and use it elsewhere.
And I'm all for that. I called over to Petersburg to ask them if they have a state generator at their airport, which they do. And why we have to go and spend our money on a state generator is beyond me. to keep our airport lit up. And I think I know the answer to that. But we had the perfect storm. Exactly what we said could happen, happened. And we're out. So I spoke to Representative Ortiz today, or yesterday, and I'm sure you spoke to him today, about the state needs to pony up. Now, I like the idea that this is on a trailer and we can use it as a sewer pump or whatever else we need. The only other question I have is that the best use of that pot at this time? If it is, if the administration's saying, yes, that's the best use of that money in this pot, great. But is it better for us to do carpet replacement at the elementary school and put in flooring? Like,
we have a need for generators. And whether it's at the airport, if it's needed there, or whether it's out the road for some of the pump stations that we have out there, which we think we were at least four that we were shy for the pump stations out the road.
Jim, what happened to the generator we got from them that hadn't been containerized yet?
Oh, it's too big. So, yeah, that would just be too big, and it would be a nightmare. I know Rob can see it. It's okay. We can't do it.
Can I make a comment?
Sure. Go ahead.
Generators should be sized to the need. So if we buy a generator for the airport, it only makes sense to have it on wheels and move it to another place if you're matching the load. You want a generator to operate at a capacity of at least 80%, if not more. And so to take a generator from the airport and that matched load, and then to try to apply it at various places around the city would not be, you want to match the load to the generator. So it's just an understanding around that one generator doesn't necessarily work. So, I mean, it'll work.
So what you're saying is that the generator will not be portable. We can't use it otherwise.
I would not, from my years of experience, I would not recommend.
Have you had this discussion with Jeff?
No, I have not.
Okay. So what I recommend is that we pull this off tonight. You get with Rod, have that discussion. We can't move forward. And
may I add something?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Actually. So I jumped on this project the day after the windstorm, hearing that there was talk of a generator. And so got in touch with the engineer who was working on this project. The project has been designed and the load was determined. He sent that information to me. We need a 40 kW unit. Past discussions, I believe, between Lisa and someone higher than our local DOT folks, suggested that it cannot be located at the airport, so it does need to be portable. Tim wanted to try to increase the capacity of the generator so it could serve as an additional ways, but I've not gotten the engineer and the CAT folks to come to an agreement on that. This money has to be spent within 2 weeks, so we have to make a decision on that. So it's very likely what I have scheduled in the $80,000 is the cost of the generator, some additional electrical design that needs to happen, and the cost of the construction, because there's electrical connectivity work that needs to happen too. That the engineer, he didn't provide a full cost estimate when he did the design, but I asked him for a rough order of magnitude number, and he told me $15,000 to $20,000. So it's very likely we won't be able to get that electrical connectivity work done within 2 weeks or a payment for it to get reimbursed by CARES for that. If we can't, then we will forego that piece, and we'll have to figure out where the money's going to come to finish that portion of the job.
Perfect. So it sounds like you've had that discussion with an engineer, and you've come up with a plan for it.
But at a minimum, we could purchase this generator, but it would need to be, according to what I understand, and I have been able to reach someone to confirm that it does need to be located off-site.
Right.
And then again, is there an MOA? We would probably need to create an MOA. Who handled that? Who managed it? Who looks it up? Goes and gets it and connects it, when the helicopter does. But we'll work on that.
And we've determined that we have a need for a 40 kW generator in other places at the airport. Okay, perfect. So I think that's the crucial information here. Yeah, go ahead.
And then will this have to be sole sourced?
You all already approved the sole source a year ago.
With Caterpillar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was due to.
All of a sudden, this is our thing.
Well, and there's only one provider for Alaska, is that correct?
There's one provider for Alaska, and this is the tools and equipment that the shop has.
Correct. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or thoughts?
I'm still confused.
Yes.
So Rod, are you can you come up here for a minute?
Sure.
So, explain, are you telling me that your recommendation is not to do this?
No, I'm just, it was during the discussion lent itself to taking this generator and then moving it out to, sump pumps or sewage,
Okay.
transfer stations and stuff like that. The load associated with those kinds of loads are just not going to match up to what your demand is at the airport. That's the only thing that I'm trying to.
So you say this is a lot bigger generator than you need at the pump.
Well, and you're not going to get to an 80% load on those.
Okay. But you're only running those stations for half an hour.
Right.
So it's not a continuous load like Rod's talking about, what you would have on a something where you're running continuous.
Right.
This is a, you go pump down, you move to the next location, you pump down. So it's not a continuous load situation where you would want to size something to that continuous run time of 80%.
Right, I understand.
How would you do that?
Okay. So the other problem I have is not having this, like, being stored on site out there is we have a windstorm, and it takes out all the power lines, and we can't get to the airport.
Well,
or we have, you know, road design, and we can't get to the airport. What happens if we can't have it there to store it there for when we need it there? That's just crazy to me.
Well, and that's where we're going back to the state and saying, put the damn generator.
Exactly.
In. So we have fact of, I guess I just assumed everybody's generator had been pulled out. I'd be interested to know if Kowak has a backup generator.
Yeah, me too.
Because it seems to me like somewhere somebody said we don't need it. My guess is because we have backup generators here.
Mm-hmm.
So they said you don't need it, but that's fine until the line goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be really clear because Rod, you've actually clouded things up a bit. So I think what I need to understand here is that were you a part of the discussions with the electrical engineer that this team was involved in? Okay. So I'm going to ask you to hold off on the opinions at this point because these guys have done the legwork on this, and I think what's happening is that you may not have all of the pieces of this puzzle that maybe the team that did the legwork with the engineer has, and I think it's casting some confusion amongst the assembly. So I've got to kind of rein this in and get a little bit of control so we're not losing out on $80,000 of grant money for a generator that we're going to be able to use, okay?
Fair enough. I and my apologies. There was no intent to cloud the issue, and I am Assemblymember Powell. I am not against this at
okay.
all. It just was a clarification around the way you would manage
right.
power.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. I know that's your area of expertise, but we're going to move forward right now with the recommendation. Does anybody else have any questions for Amber or Jeff? Yes.
Other than a couple of meetings from now, could you give us an inventory of the generators and where they are and what they're responsible for, and also pumps? Do we have extra pumps on hand and things of that sort, so that will cut down on some confusion.
Perfect.
You get a water bill.
Okay. Any other thoughts or questions? This is 13L.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hearing none. Poll vote, please, Kim.
Yeah, sure. Assembly Member Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud?
Yes. Item 13M, resolution number 12-21-1649 in the Assembly in the City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the fiscal year 2022 budget by transferring $30,000 from the Industrial Construction Fund reserves to the Industrial Construction Fund Professional Services account.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1649. $1,649.
Moved by Gilbert, seconded by Morrison. Jeff?
So this is to get basically an estimate for what the value is for our Rangel Medical Facility. There's a bit of motion out there as far as what we do with that facility. And before we can do anything moving forward, we need to know what the value of it is. So that's what this does. It gets us a value for that facility.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
And the six lots, the addition, the whole campus, correct?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, see, there's a bunch of land in the back, but did we not give some of that land away in the mitigation?
No, it's beyond, it's past that.
Past that, okay, thank you. All right, any other questions? Hearing none. Poll vote, please, Kim.
Sure. Assemblymembers Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Pisano?
Yes. Approval of contract award, sorry, this is 13N. Approval of contract award to BNS Electric in the amount of $38,448 for the pool lighting replacement project.
Move to approve contract award to BNS Electric in the amount of $38,448 for the pool lighting replacement project.
Moved by Powell?
Second.
Seconded by Morrison. Jeff?
This is just, I mean, right now, with the lighting we have at the pool, it needs to be replaced, and this is the project to replace that lighting.
Thank you. Any questions? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Pisano?
Yes. Item 13O, Resolution Number 12-21-1650, the Assembly of the Borough of Rangel, Alaska, amending the fiscal year 2022 budget by transferring funds from the sales tax, health, sanitation, education reserve to the Upper Dam Stabilization Alternatives Analysis Capital Project Account and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve Resolution Number 12-21-1650.
Moved by Powell.
Second.
Thank you, Morrison. Seconded by Morrison. Last battle of the gate. Okay. Discussion. I don't know if it's Amber.
Yes. Yeah, and I can go ahead and talk to you real quick. Sure. But Amber, I'll have you follow up as well as far as the total price. But essentially, what this is whenever they initially did the engineering for the bank up at the reservoir, they took samples at different locations. The problem we have is we don't. And that was basically on top of the dam and then below the footing of the dam. The area in question is between those two spots. We don't know, they're not positive what's below that. And unfortunately for, that's where you actually, if it is sand, which that's what they think it is, if we have an earthquake or something like that, there's a thing that's called liquefaction is what happens. Mm-hmm. And that's right, what's basically holding all of that soil back is in that area. So if that liquefies, you're losing all that frictional force that's being downplayed on that, which is actually holding all the water back. So that's what this project is for, is to basically go in at the location. It's going to be expensive just for the fact that they have to actually build some stuff to be able to get out there onto it to actually do the drilling to actually take the core samples. So,
anything else, Amber, for that?
Engineer speak. So as Jeff explained, it's the need for information about the soil strength at the toes of the dam. The modeling that they've done based on historical information that they have both from our drawings and from what the dam safety office has, they're not able to confirm that they can't with assurance say this is what we understand about these soils. So without that information and the confidence level, it's hard to move forward with the alternatives analysis. So they really need to be informed as to what the soil strengths are at the toe of the slope, that area that Jeff explained, to move forward.
And that also gets back into the total price, which we don't know what that total price is yet for the repair, because until you figure out what's there, they can't really come up with an alternative for the fix. So that drives the entire cost of the entire project.
Yes, Ann.
So either Jeff or Amber through the chair. So the cost for the drilling and the analysis is $100,000.
Correct. That is their estimate now. They have said that there are some unknowns that may drive the cost, and some of that may not be known until they're on site.
Right.
So just, you know, closure, there could be some additional costs associated with it.
Okay, Patty?
I'm kind of getting these numbers mixed up. We had a resolution, I guess, September 2020, of $65,000 for the upper dam stability alternatives analysis.
That was for this project. Yeah, so that's what got them moving into analyzing the dam, the upper dam, and working on the alternative analysis. It's as part of that work proceeded in doing their modeling work in that, under that contract, that they determined they need some additional information, and that's what this would be for.
Okay, so we spent it 65 in 2020.
Correct.
Okay, and then we're coming back and, okay.
So they, in that initial report, they took some historical information as far as what we had, or they said was there at the time, but they can't confirm it. So it's really just to confirm what's underneath that one section of the dam.
Okay.
Which is the most critical
part. It's not going to be really catastrophic drilling or anything. It's how big is the borehole?
Core sample.
It's a regular core sample, which is probably about 8 inches, six to eight inches.
Six, okay. And then they'll grout it afterwards. It'll be filled in.
Okay.
Jim, I have a couple of questions. First is the safety of this. I mean, if we think the thing's unstable, drawing a piece of heavy machinery out into it and drilling a hole down in it that's 8 inches wide, is that safe? Is that?
It is. I mean, you really only have that problem is if it's on there and if we have an earthquake, that's when you get the liquefaction. That's where you would have a problem.
I guess, and the other thing is just the funding for this. I mean, we're throwing $100,000 at it. What does that get us in the long run, I guess, as far as, you know, I just, last I heard this was a $60 million project. I mean, if it's going to be a $60 million or a $16 million and we don't have the funding for it.
Well, I think what it gets us, it actually lets us know what the risk is.
Okay.
If we don't do it, we're guessing at what the risk is right now. It's just a
it will allow us to go federally or state and say, it's filled with sand, folks. It's saturated, and this thing is ready to go in the first earthquake. And we may bump up to number one worst dam in state instead of number two. So that actually adds to our ability to sell the project.
Yeah.
But if it's a different material, it could be way better than we think. It actually could go from a safety factor of one to the two, and we may not have to do much at all.
Okay.
Right. Or it could be the difference of, like Jeff said, may not have to do much, or it could also be the difference between we have some issues, but we could stabilize that dam by adding additional fill at the embankment versus constructing a brand new dam, you know. So it would inform what our repair and stabilization project looks like that we move forward and ask for money for.
It's due diligence. We have to do this to understand the scope of the project. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Amber. I think we're good there. Kim, we'll call the roll, please.
Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Yes.
Davis Powell?
Yes.
Bourne?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Pacheco?
Yes. Item 13P, resolution number 12-21-1651 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending fiscal year 21 budget of the Wrangell Municipal Light and Power Department, WMLMP, by transferring $24,158.15 from WMLMP's cash reserves to the P&L Capital Projects Equipment and Vehicles above $5,000 account for the purpose of contracting with Marine Systems, Inc., MSI, to install a new gear dampener in Generator 1.
Move to approve resolution number 12-21-1651.
Moved by Morrison, seconded by Howe. Jeff?
So whenever we have the maintenance done on the number one generator, which is our largest generator and provides us the most backup power we have, it was realized that the gear dampener for that generator was locked in place. The recommendation from the mechanic is to secure it, don't run it, because if we do run it, there's a possibility of a crankcase explosion, because if that gear dampener is not working, you'll get backup pressure and it'll blow up. for us to be where we need to be, especially this time of year, we need this generator back up. Because right now, we just have 2, 3, and 4, which is right around 6.5 to 7
megawatts.
So, and this time of year, especially with the colder temperatures, we run up into the nights. So, it's critical we get this generator back up, which is why we need to get this done.
Perfect. Any questions? Patty?
Just a procedural question. Why are we amending FY21/FY22 budget? I've never seen that before. How could we amend FY21 in the body of the resolution?
Oh,
I think that's a mistake. That would be the fiscal year 2022 budget.
Yeah. 21.
I'm responsible for that.
Oh,
so
okay.
If I thought it was 2021/22,
oh,
my apologies.
Okay, yeah, it is confusing, but.
Can we have an amendment, please, to. You want to amend it?
Yeah, I'll move to amend that the body of the resolution reflect FY22 budget.
Been moved by Gilbert. We have a second. Seconded by Morrison. Any discussion? Call the roll, please, on the amendment.
On the amendment, David Powell?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. And call the roll, please, on the amended motion.
As amended,
amended.
Assemblymember Morrison?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. Item 13Q, approval amendment number 1 to the professional service agreement with Shannon Wilson for Upper Dam Stabilization Alternative Analysis Project in the amount of $100,384.
Move to approve amendment number 1 to professional service agreements with Shannon Wilson for the Upper Dam Stabilization Alternative Analysis Project in the amount of $100,384.
Move by Powell.
Second.
Seconded by Gilbert. Jeff?
This is just a follow-on to the previous Upper Dam Stabilization, and it's the contractor they've already gone with for the initial study that's a follow-on.
Thank you, Jeff. Any questions? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Sure. Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. 13R. Approval of collective bargaining agreement with the International Brotherhood of Electric Workers, IBEW 1547.
Move to approve the collective bargaining agreement with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers as presented to be effective upon approval of the union wage and grade table to be considered at a special assembly meeting and upon receipt of the union negotiation hours worked.
Moved. Do we have a second? Seconded. Moved by Gilbert, seconded by Morrison. Excuse me, any discussion? Sorry. So this is, so can you follow
I'll
up
I'll explain. We're going to discuss this in executive session. So after we have a discussion here, I'm going to move to table this until. And then take it off the table after our executive session.
Thank you. So it will be tabled. We will not be voting on it until after executive session.
Until after executive session.
Okay. Is there any question about the motion as made? Now, just so we're very clear, that is not the motion that was on the agenda.
Correct.
Kim,
correct.
Is there any issues with us not publicizing that motion as
not
it was
at
on
all.
The agenda?
Thank no, you. No issue with that.
Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none. Paul, you want to table it?
Yeah, I'm going to move right now. I move to table the main motion until after executive session.
Been moved?
Seconded.
Seconded by Powell. Any discussion? We are voting on tabling this motion until after executive session. Call the roll, please, Kim.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. Okay. Ordinance number 1016 of the Assembly of the City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending sections 15.12.192, 15.12.200, 15.12.210, and 15.12.215 in Chapter 5.12, Electricity in the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 1016, and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on January 11, 2022.
Moved by Powell.
Second.
Seconded by Morrison. Jeff, can you give us an update on that?
Correct. This is, we were notified by SEPA on Saturday that they're going to be increasing our rates by a quarter of a cent. So what this does is it reflects our rates to adjust for the increased rates by SEPA. Match it exactly.
Okay. Any thoughts or comments on that?
For the public, do you want to tell them again what the increase is?
So the increase is going to be 0.25 of a cent, and there will more than likely be a second increase in a year. So just to understand that, and the anticipated cost to the average residential household is $3 to $5 a month. Any further discussion?
So we have discussed rates and all that stuff before, and to me it seems like what we're doing is we're going along with what SEPA says and just adjusting our rate for what they did. It's just going to be, and don't get me wrong, I never want to pay more than anybody else, okay? But we've always talked about our electrical. We don't have enough money to replace certain things. We're not keeping up to what the cost is and all that stuff. Why are we only looking at a quarter of a penny? Why are we not looking at one penny right now? And because, and the reason why I say that, and I don't get me wrong, I don't want to pay more, but the reason why I say that is we always come from behind. And right now, if we're going to raise it up, why don't we just go one penny? Because if you're going from $4 to $5 to $6, you go to a penny, and it's, you're talking, $18. And I get that, and I understand that. But our infrastructure is getting older and older and older. I think we're behind the eight ball here. And I think we're going to keep getting behind the eight ball, and we're getting in trouble.
Right.
I appreciate that, actually, the wisdom of that. Because I can see we getting in an emergency situation where we don't have any reserves and we've got to do something. And then everybody pays anyway because we have to do some giant loan or bond or something to backfill.
And enterprise funds are supposed to pay for themselves. And ours don't.
That's right.
Well, actually, I believe the
electric department does.
Well, they all do. I mean, you can't pad an enterprise fund with general fund money. You can do your police department, your fire department, but the harbor has to. The harbor does it on their own. Everybody does it on their own. I will say that Petersburg did a raise along with the quarter cent. And I believe the Ketchikan also did a raise along with the quarter cent. One of the things that you're going to find is that if the community keeps getting hit with a, so now it's, even though it's fractional, and then if you come back in a month or 2 months time and say, now we want to raise it 0.75 cents, that feels worse than it's one penny now and we go down the road later. The only thing, we've been talking about rate studies and this and that and that and this. We know we don't have enough money in the kitty to take care of the generators, right? We know we don't have enough money in the kitty to do all the things we need to do. So padding the kitty a bit, I don't think is a bad idea. And when I say that, I mean the reserve funds for the various things.
Doesn't the electrical department have a reserve of around $3
million? Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is, I don't disagree with doing an increase, but we have other utilities that we're contemplating, like, as you said, a rate increase. Can we take some time beginning of next year to explore that? Instead of
the question
dropping
on the table
it right
tonight,
now?
The question on the table tonight is raising our utilities just to match the SEPA increase. And I think it's fair, I think it would be fair, Kim, if I'm not mistaken, that if somebody says, I think it should be, we should round it up to a penny as a part of that to incorporate the 0.25 and then a 0.75 increase for our own utility as a starting point, that I don't believe we're out of the realm of an amendment motion there. So, but I think if we start talking about other utilities, we're starting to really branch off here. And, but I agree, the first of the year, we should, for sure.
I just think we, okay, I understand what you're trying to say, and I know we are going to be looking at that. I know those rates are going to have to go up somewhere along the line. I just think that we just keep kicking this down the can down the road, that every time we do that. I mean, we've been here now together for 6 years, and we've done it quite a few times. And I think right now, if we're going to raise the rate, going one penny, and I look at it, you know, 6 years ago, if we would have been a quarter of a penny every year for 6 years, we'd be where we need to be anyways right now, and not have to worry about what SEPA's doing. But we have never done any of it. And like I say, I don't want to pay no more, but I know what our infrastructure looks like. I know what poles we're going to have to be replacing. And $3 million to everybody right now sounds like a lot of money. But one catastrophe, it's not. It's not a lot of money. So I don't feel that we're padding anything. I think we're looking after our infrastructure by raising that rate 0.75 more.
Well, it's for us at SEPA, one of the things we have to recognize is the changing labor market. And that has really, really changed. And in order for us to keep our staff, we have had to, you know, look at what we're paying them. And to hold an engineer, what does it cost us for an engineer today? I mean, we really had to, in order to keep that engineer, we had to make sure that we're able to pay him appropriately. Jeff?
And based on the hours of our generators, I mean, we're doing this intersection overhaul on number 5. We need to do it on 2, 3, and 4. And you're talking $400,000 to $500,000 a pop to do this intersection overhaul.
And we do need to do maintenance. Some of our other enterprise funds are in worse shape than our electric fund, if we can acknowledge that.
Absolutely.
And perhaps we can think, you said that SEPA was going to recommend another increase at the end of, in another year or less than a year. Maybe we can incorporate that increase with what we may be doing tonight. I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. So if someone made an amendment.
I'd like to move a big amendment to increase our rate from a quarter percent or a quarter penny to a full penny.
Sure. Do we have
someone
a second?
Second.
I'll second that. Go ahead.
So it's been taken by half, and that would be per kilowatt hour. So we would go to 1 cent increase, which would incorporate the 0.25 of SEPA's, and that would be a 0.75 increase that would go to the utility. Pat?
Effective when?
Well, that's a part of this motion, so.
Right, it's in the ordinance.
Right.
Effective
okay. still the same effective
yeah,
date.
Yeah, still the same effective date first. Okay, any more discussion?
I'm sorry, who seconded that
motion? So that was seconded by
Powell.
Made by Powell, seconded by Powell. Further discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
On the amendment?
Yes.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Pressunca?
Yes. Is there any further discussion on the amended motion? Hearing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Okay. And as amended, Assembly members David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Pressunca?
Yes. Okay. So the attorney's, that was. Yes, attorney's file is available in the clerk's office, item 15, executive sessions. Kim, we're going to call both these executive sessions now and vote to go into them, and we'll have full votes simultaneously. And no action will be taken in the executive session. Would somebody like to make those motions?
I move pursuant to Alaska Statutes 44.62.310C1. That we recess into executive session and invite the borough manager, the CFO, into the session to discuss matters in which the immediate knowledge would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, specifically to discuss the possible acquisition of land. And can I roll the next one into this?
Dan?
No, she wants us to vote on them separately.
Okay.
Kate, do I have a second?
Second.
So it was seconded by Morrison, moved by Gilbert. Any discussion on executive session A? Hearing none, pull vote, please, Kim.
Sure. Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Brian Howe?
Yes.
Dan Russell?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Pachanka?
Yes. Item 15B, executive session discussion of proposed IBEW collective bargaining agreement.
I move pursuant to Alaska Statutes 44.62.310C3 that we move to approve that we go into executive session, invite the borough collective bargaining team, the borough manager, and our CFO and the attorney if we need him to discuss the proposed collective bargaining negotiations, a matter which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance is required to be confidential.
Good move. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Powell, moved by Gilbert. Any discussion? Hearing none, pull vote, please, Kim.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Brian Howe?
Yes.
Dan Russell?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Pachanka?
Yes. And with that, we will recess into executive session at 10 p.m.